Good morning, everyone. I am so excited to be on the telephone with all of you and also my friend Richard Brook. I met Richard actually indirectly through his book, Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire. I highly recommend you get that book. In fact, better yet, as you listen to him on the phone today, you'll find he has a delightful voice, and I have that recording on my iPhone. And so sometimes Richard and I have walked together, although he's not aware of that. It was actually his voice. And also, I became a little bit more impressed with Richard years ago. I can't remember the date, but you were on the cover of Success Magazine, which I think was kind of just a whole new era in network marketing, just making it aware as a serious profession, that particular magazine. And maybe just to toot his horn a little bit more, Richard has gone to the top. He's also owned his own company and does own his own company. He's very active in just making sure that we have integrity. Mention that specifically because he's been a major, I guess you would call, senior member of the DSA Ethics Committee. Been on the board of the director of the directors of the Direct Selling Association. So he's quite a guy, and I believe you go way back to the mid 70s as far as your first introduction to network marketing. So you definitely are a pillar in the community of this wonderful, greatest of all professions, network marketing. So really honored to have you on the call with us.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much. Can you hear me good?
Yes, I can. Thank you. And the reason I asked Richard to be on the call with you is I believe we're at a moment in NECAN. A little bit about myself. I've been in network marketing about as long as Richard. I've personally discovered that the opportunity of a lifetime is only as good as the lifetime of the opportunity. And I had the wonderful fortune of being with, associated with NECAN for getting close to a quarter of a century. And as far as just having impact on people through products, I look back years ago, there was a commercial called "Aren't You Glad You Use Dial," referring to the soap. And then it says, "And don't you wish everyone did?" And I think in my own mind, I think, boy, I'm so thankful I use NECAN products, and I wish everyone did, because I really believe these are so impactful that if everyone had NECAN products, there would no longer be a health crisis. They're that profound. And I also believe, probably as most of you listening on the phone, that if everyone actually understood what network marketing was, they'd be in. I think the only reason they're not in, or the reason they don't know about our products and are using them, is they just don't understand. And I believe Richard has made a breakthrough, and I'm referring specifically to a book titled The Four-Year Career. And I've heard the word game changer for a lot of times, and it's a delightful word. It means a lot. And I believe that we are at a point right now with NECAN where we have everything in place to go out and share the word. Our enhanced compensation plan is all in for the new person coming in. There's just never been a better time to be guided, to build a good, predictable, well-structured business. The products have done surpassed. Everything is in place. But the need, the demand, the hunger for opportunity is more important than ever. But I think one of the big disconnects is with what would you call the social media, the just information overload. A lot of people think they know what it is when they really don't understand it at all. And I think that the real gift that Richard can give all of us is a book that I've actually seen other people use, and I'm thinking, wow, we could do the very same thing, and it could just go for it. And because in a very easy to read, just easy to get into book, all of a sudden it changes everything in a person's mind. This is a book that can change minds and hearts and souls. So anyway, without me just taking everything up, I just want to say there's nothing so powerful as an idea whose time has come, and knowledge is power, but it has to be with some well-directed action. And the thing I love about this book is it's easy. To build an empire, you want it to be fun, simple, to look like, wow, I could do that, and there's nothing easier than giving out a book. And so we're just jumping forward with that. So, Richard, tell us a little bit about the book, if you would.
Well, thanks, Dave. The book is based on a presentation that I've done. The first time I think I ever did it was 1990. And the idea was not that people shouldn't go to college, so it's not an alternative like a should, but just a way to look at the paradigm of our society, how, you know, we urge our kids to go to college, get a four-year degree, and yet even in this day and age we do that when we know that most of them will not get a job in their chosen career, and, you know, a good percentage of them will remain unemployed or underemployed for a few years after graduating. So I just laid out this idea of, you know, what if instead of going to college and, you know, during that 4 years you don't have any income and you're probably spending somebody's money up to $250,000. What if you just invested that 4 years in building a network marketing organization? And the first year you're a freshman and you don't maybe really make a lot of money and you reinvest all of it, you get educated. Second year you're a sophomore and you get some traction and you start to build some income. And the third year you build even more. By the fourth year, geometric progressions have really kicked in, and you graduate in year five with a fantastic residual income, which allows you then to do whatever you want the rest of your life, career-wise, which maybe it's network marketing, maybe it's something else, but you're not trapped by having to work for a living. And about 3 years ago, I launched a new network marketing company, and in the process of that, I found that I needed to be the number one recruiter in the company, because when you start a brand new company, there isn't anybody in the business. And so you kind of look around the boardroom and you say, okay, we've launched this new company. It's exciting. We got great products and a great website and great compensation plan and everything's great. And we don't have any distributors. And who's gonna recruit the distributors? And we're all looking at each other and we're looking at our map of North America and there's nobody who recruits. So anyway, I ended up recruiting again. It's been a long time since I really focused on recruiting. And so of course I recruited people that I knew in the industry that were not involved in a company. And, but I just found myself in recruiting mode every day, talking to people, moving through life. And here's what I found, Dave. I found that, you know, when it came to, this has been consistent throughout my whole career and other people that I've coached, that it's not so often that prospects object to our product or our company. You know, sometimes they object to our product, maybe the price of it or whether or not they actually need it, but, you know, that's pretty rare, really, and it's rare that people look at our website or our company and say, well, I don't like that company, I don't like that website, I don't like the name of your company, I don't like your owner. That's rare. What's common is that people don't want to do what we do, and it's not because they know what we do from our viewpoint. I think you said earlier, if people knew what we knew, they'd all be involved. The reason they're not involved, I found, is they think they know what we do. And based on that interpretation, that fantasy, that rumor, they don't want to do what we do. And so I found that, that what was missing is not my products and not my company, not those materials, but something that would educate people in a credible way about what network marketing really was and really had to offer. And so I wrote this book. And anytime I write a book, which I've written two or three, I want to write a book that somebody can read in one short airline flight, or a lunch hour, or, you know, just maybe over a couple of breaks. I can't read a book that takes a week to read. I can't stay focused that long. So this is a short book. Somebody can read it in 45, 60 minutes, maybe longer if they're a slow reader, but you don't really even have to read it. All you have to do is kind of look at the pictures and the endorsements, the graphics, kind of skim through it. You get the essence of it. The book is a credible, factual, non-hype look at how network marketing really works from the inside out, why it works. It's not a book about how to build. It's not the seven steps of how to build an empire. It is the math and the engineer's approach and the social proof approach to how it all works, including the history of how the business model was developed in the mid-1940s by a company called California Vitamins. And what I found, Dave, is when I give that book to somebody and ask them to scan it or look it over or look at the pictures or even read it, they come out of that experience a totally different prospect in terms of their openness to talk about what we do. So the book is, it speaks to how the business model works, how geometric progressions work, why recruiting is so important. I mean, one of the most, I think, pivotal graphics and distinctions in the book is, here's what most people don't get about how we do business. If you want to sell $1 million a month worth of product in traditional direct sales, you'll get yourself, for example, 100 superstar salespeople. You'll give them a territory, a company car, a credit card, all kinds of training. But the most important thing you'll give them is a $10,000 a month contract. Because 100 times 10,000 equals $1 million a month. And what will you do with the ones who don't meet quota? You'll fire them. And you'll hire new people. And you'll keep hiring and hiring and hiring and firing. And you'll actually do that for the rest of eternity. Because you're never going to find 100 people who meet your quota. And that's direct sales, traditional direct sales. And network marketing just flips the numbers. Instead of 100 superstars doing 10,000 a month, it's 10,000 anybodies doing 100 a month. And so how do you get 10,000 people? Everybody recruits. And so, those people who say, well, if everybody's recruiting, who sells the product? And I love it when people ask me that question because I kind of just stare at them. And I like for them to sort of seep in the irony of the question they just asked me. If everybody's recruiting, who's going to sell the product? The answer is everybody. The more you have, the more product you sell. So that's what the book is about, Dave. And there's a specific recruiting approach that a person can use with the book that has turned out to be very effective, not just for my company, but 100 other companies in the profession.
Well, I think you should tell us how you do that.
Okay. Well, I was just taking a sip of coffee and resting.
Oh, okay.
You want me to go in a different direction?
No, I think that is the question on everyone's mind. How do you use this tool? And I just got to say also, Richard, why I'm so excited about this is it's a great equalizer. The right tool takes it off the person because they're superstars anywhere that can do almost anything. But to make network marketing work, what you do isn't just what you do, but what you can duplicate. And so the thing I like about this is it takes it off the individual. You get a powerful enough tool and just get it out to the people. Let the tool do as much work as possible so it can move faster. And I like the idea of making an assembly line with this book because it's fun and easy and does the work for you. So anyway, how do we use it?
Well, the first step in using it is that it becomes, not always, there might be times where you're talking to somebody and it's obvious you need to lead with Deacon product. you know, maybe it even becomes apparent to you that you want to lead with the Nikon opportunity. But the more you use the approach I'm going to tell you about, I think the more you'll find that it's easier to lead with this approach. And so I have a whole training module, which I won't go into in depth on this call, but which I know you teach people as well, Dave, about how to build rapport with people and build relationship with people and talk to people and get to know people. And, you know, there's two basic ways to recruit people in network marketing, or I suppose anything. One is to just go after them kind of like a, you know, a chainsaw and, you know, ask them a bunch of questions and tell them what they should do. You know, you should get in network marketing. You should get in Nikon. You should use these products. You know, you'll make a lot of money. Look at all these people that make a lot of money. And, you know, when will you decide to do that? Will you decide to do that today or tomorrow? And that approach is really the approach that does not support our profession, because the reputation of our profession is defined not by the people who say yes, but by the people who say no. And there's always, you know, 9 people that say no for everyone that says yes. So our approach defines our reputation as a profession. And imagine the day, this day I believe is coming, imagine the day when most prospects that you talk to already know what network marketing is, and they have an admiration and respect for it. Perhaps they're not doing it. Perhaps they're not ever going to do it. It's not right for them, or it's not the right time, but they understand and respect it. Imagine that day and how easy it will be to build an organization. And today, just the opposite is true. Most people don't favor network marketing. They're not looking for it. And when they discover that's what you're talking about, they're not that interested, because they think it's something that it's not. And we've created that in the last 60 years with how most people have recruited. The other approach to recruiting is to let people discover what it is you do and let them choose what it is you do. And that approach, the best way that I could describe that approach is in 2 words: for us to be curious and candid. Curious and candid. So, Dave, if you're curious about me and you and I are in proximity, whether it's on Facebook, email, the telephone, text, or sitting next to each other on a plane, if you're curious about me, what I know you're going to do is ask me questions. And, you know, the cool thing is, from a duplicatable standpoint, it doesn't matter what questions you ask a prospect. You know, trust the human spirit, trust the human intuition. If you're curious about somebody, you're going to ask them the right questions. And when they're done answering those questions, if you're still curious about them, you're going to ask them more questions. And when they're done telling you about that, if you're still curious about them, you're going to ask them more questions. Now, every once in a while, you'd be surprised to know how often this doesn't happen. But every once in a while, somebody will, oh, wow, this is pretty interesting. Maybe I'll ask some questions. Ask you some questions. And, you know, sooner or later, people are going to, you do. And this is the thing to be candid. Here's what marketers have done when people ask them what to do. They come up with bizarre explanations of what we do.
Richard, did you walk somewhere where your cell phone's not working very well? Because we can't hear you right now. If you could maybe walk back where you were and start over the last few sentences.
I haven't moved.
Oh, that's sounding good now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe just back up with that last thought, if you would.
Okay. What I was saying is, if you keep asking somebody questions, they're eventually going to ask you some questions. And historically, in our profession, what we have done when people ask that question about what we do is we've made up these bizarre explanations of what we do to try to say everything except, you know, I do multi-level marketing or network marketing, and just in case you're not clear what that is, That's like Amway, New Skin, Herbalife, Mary Kay. Oh, okay. Now I understand what you do. And so what I'm recommending here is that we be candid with people and we tell them what we do in a way that they get it and they understand it, and that we're so confident and proud of what we do that we stand right there next to the distinction and the profession of network marketing, and we tell people that we're professional network marketers and we're confident enough about that business model that we tell them what that is in a way that they understand it. And, you know, what I like to do is explain to people that, you know, I'm a network marketer, and that's where, you know, you get a lot of people throughout the world or the nation to move a product. Satisfied customers become the people that are recommending the product, and there's an opportunity to build a sales team. And, you know, I know people are listening to me, but they probably still don't get what I'm talking about. So I give them four or five companies so they understand exactly what I'm talking about. And that's if somebody asks me what I do. I don't tell them that I'm an emergency retirement specialist, or, you know, I'm a, you know, wealth building consultant, or, you know, anything cute like that, because all that does is create distrust. Is my signal still good, Dave?
Yeah, you're sounding good.
Okay. So here's where the book comes into play with this approach. When I'm talking to somebody, I'm asking them questions. I don't have an agenda for which questions I ask them. I don't necessarily ask about where they live or what they do for a living or their family or their hobbies or any of that. I ask whatever questions come to mind in the moment that allows me to know them better. I want to know who they are. I want to know everything about them. And I'm not interrogating them. I'm just curious. And I come from that in conversation. And at some point in that conversation, maybe not the first time I talk to them, maybe not even the second time I talk to them, but at some point in the conversation, when you're curious about people and you ask them questions and you're candid when they ask you questions, people will serve themselves up to you. You don't have to ask them if they keep their income options open or their retirement plans open or if they're making all the money they want to make. You don't have to ask people questions like that, because we know the answers to that. Everybody wants to make more money and everybody wants better health. Those are two fundamental truths that create the foundation of our extraordinary opportunity. If you're in a health network marketing company, everybody wants better health. Everybody wants to live longer. Everybody wants to be less sick or no sick. And everybody wants to live, they want to be vital in old age. And everybody wants more money. Everyone, even people that have too much money, want more money. Those two fundamental truths create an extraordinary opportunity for us. And all we have to do is be confident in that and patient and just be curious about people, and they will serve themselves up. Here's what I mean by serve themselves up. They will, like, put their vulnerability. They'll put their wants and needs on a silver platter for us. They will tell us things they haven't even told their best friend. They will tell us the things that are giving them pain in life. Or, you know, like, I can't afford to send my kids to college, or my parents are sick and they can't work anymore, or, you know, I've got this, you know, rogue child who keeps getting in trouble, or, you know, my car keeps breaking down and I can't afford to fix it, or, you know, I've been at this job for 32 years and the politics and the grind and the hours and the pay, and it's killing me. They'll serve themselves up, including, you know, all I really love to do is surf. You know, it's my favorite thing in the world to do is surf, or I want to write, or I want to paint, or I want to travel, and I don't get to do as much of that as I want to do. People will tell us their pain, and people will tell us their gain, where they want gain. And then here's the technique, and I'm going to give you some specific phraseology, but you don't have to use my words. Just use the intent. Make up your own words. So if I'm talking to you, Dave, and, you know, you say, you know what, my wife and I have 11 children. I'm going to say, Dave, you must have financial problems.
No, you don't even want to know.
You need a full-time truancy officer and a bank in your corner. You know, if Dave were to say to me, we've got 11 kids, and, you know, that's like, how do you get all of them through college, and, you know, how do you get all of them employed, and how do you get all of them home safely, and somewhere in there, Dave's going to tell me about a problem or an opportunity that he has where more money would be a great solution. So all I do, Dave, is I pull this book out, and here's a key. This is a key piece of this technique. You must always have the book with you. Always have the book with you. And that includes not having it in your car if you're in a coffee shop. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a restaurant, a coffee shop, or some place, and there is an opportunity in front of me, and the book's in the car. It's 2 minutes away, but I won't go get it. But if I have the book on me, you know, if I have the book on me in Costco, I'll take advantage of an opportunity. I won't go out to the car and get it. Starbucks, the bank, any place. Always have the book on you. What you want to do every day is take a couple of books, put your name, email address, and cell phone number, maybe Facebook or however you communicate, on a sticker on the inside cover. Take a yellow highlighter and highlight a couple of pages in the book that are important to you. In the current edition of the Four-Year Career, in the back is Bo Tanis's story. In the back of all Four-Year Careers is about a dozen success stories from a dozen different top leaders in different companies. The companies are not mentioned. But Bo Tanis, Deacon Distributor, is in the current edition, so you'd highlight his story. Just with a highlighter. And you always have a couple of these books with you. And so Dave tells me about some issue that he has. And what I would say to Dave is something like, hey Dave, you might be interested in this book I'm reading. And even if you've read the Four-Year Career, I suggest you keep reading it and keep reading it and keep reading it until you can do an hour-long presentation on it at your next training. I mean, everything that's in the book. All the distinctions, all the math, all the examples, all the endorsements, all the myths that are dispelled. You can do an hour-long training. Until you can do an hour-long training on a book, you don't know the book, you should keep reading it. I'm a big proponent of read 10 books until you can teach an hour on each 10, as opposed to, you know, I'm going to read a book a week for the rest of my life. People that do that can't teach on any of them. So study the book. Keep reading the book. So when you tell people I'm reading this book, you're telling the truth. And this is your copy, because you're going to buy this copy ahead of time. So I would say to Dave, hey, Dave, I'm reading this book. And I'd pull the book out and show it to him. And I would tell him that it's about how to, you can change this language if you want, but something like, this is how to get financially independent. This is how to develop a significant second income stream. This is how to get financially free so you can do whatever you want the rest of your life. This is about that and how to do it on a part-time basis without leaving your job in the next 3 to 4 to 5 years. That's what you tell them the book's about. Then you ask a very important question. And again, you can ask it any way you want. Here's the language I use. I simply say, Dave, if that were true, if what I'm telling you about this book is true, would you want to at least look it over? And I find that to be a very important question, because the claim that you can become financially independent in 4 or 5 years is a difficult to believe claim. And so the question, if it were true, it's kind of a hypothetical question. But it allows people to move past whatever skepticism they might have about that claim and answer the hypothetical, theoretical question. if it were true, would you want to look into it? It's hard for people to say no to that because they still get the disclaimer of, if it's not true, then I don't have to look into it. So I simply ask people, hey, Dave, if that were true, would you want to spend 20 or 30 minutes looking this book over? And I find in every case people say yes to that. I find in 90% of the cases people walk away with the book. And so here's like the key distinction about why to lead with this book. The number one objection that prospects have is not our product, it's not our company. How do we know that? Let's go to a big meeting of Neekin distributors. There's 1,000 distributors at the meeting. And let's ask them, how many of you love Neekin products? How many of you absolutely are evangelical about Neekin products? I mean, you take Neekin products every day, and you just absolutely love the products. How many of you? How many hands would go up, Dave, if there's 1,000 people in the room?
Well, probably 1,001.
Yes. And if I were to say, how many of you love the company Neekin? How many of you love what it stands for, its history, its culture, its vision? How many of you love Neekin? How many hands would go up?
Pretty much all of them as well.
Yeah. So then if I ask, how many of you recruited 2 people last month, how many hands would go up?
What's the Fifth Amendment? I tell people that we have a position on our compensation plan called Secret Agent Distributor, and there's all too many of those.
Exactly. So what's missing? People love the product. They love the company. What's missing? Distributors don't even love our business model. They're not even proud enough of our business model to embrace it and share it with people. So we got to know prospects don't embrace our business model. So why would we be leading with the product and the company? Lead with what the prospect has an issue with, because if you can resolve that, then the products and the company are just automatic. They're just easy. And so what I find is, you know, if I give somebody a company video on the products or the opportunity, people know it's advertising. If I send them to the website, they know it's advertising. They listen to company-specific material through a filter of, this is advertising. These people are paid to tell me this. Of course they're going to tell me this company's great, these products are great. If I give somebody a book, we have been trained. I'm not saying it's true, but the paradigm in our society is, if it's in a book, it's true, other than, you know, fiction stories. If it's in a textbook, it's true. The information in the book is true, and it's credible. And if we want to learn and understand and get educated, what do? We read books. So if I tell you this is a book about how to get financially independent in 4 or 5 years without quitting your job, how you hear that is a villain. So you're open to reading books. Sort of anchor it by saying, if that were true, would you want to read it? So
say that one more time because your phone broke up again. Could you back up and just talk about the book, and because your phone just broke up.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm 5-bar signal, so I don't know why it's doing that.
Oh, okay. Do that.
Well, what I was saying, yeah, what I was saying is that people believe that what's in a book is credible, it's truth. If they want to get educated on the subject, they read a book. That's what we do through our lives, our parents' lives, our grandparents' lives. So opposed to company literature or a company video, a book has far more credibility. So if you just tell people that a book is about what in 4 or 5 years and you get to keep your job, then you them, if you look at the book, my experience is people say yes. And now what you do is you tell your copy of the book. And I would tell you, Dave, I'm going to give you my copy here. And all I'm going to ask is that you tell me, by when will you be able to read it so I can get it back? And so I said, you know, Dave, maybe up to an hour to read it. You can look it over tonight or by tomorrow night. And you don't have to ask alternative of choice. You can just ask, when do you think you can read it? And I'll tell you. And so you said, you know, I think I can have it read by the end of the week. Awesome. So can I call you Friday to pick it up and see if you have any questions? And so what you do is you get an agreement. When will they have read the book? And you make it so that and part of your call. And on the days when people are done with the book, you can pick it up. You call them or Skype them or Facebook them or Instagram them or walk over to their house or email them or whatever. And you simply ask a question. You don't have to ask them, what did you like best about the book? Just ask them what they thought about the book, how they felt about it, or if they have any questions about it. Just don't sell them. Just be normal, conversational. Manipulate them. Just what they talk about it, what did they think about it, what they feel about it, have any questions, just like that. And here's the statistics I have found. 50% of the people that tell you they would read it by tomorrow night or whenever, 50% have read it by then, and 50% have not. The 50% that have not, all you do is say, that's cool, Dave, no problem, when do you think you can get to it? And just ask them to recommit, make a note, and that's your new follow-up time. You're going to have people keep recommitting forever sometimes. I've got one guy who's been recommitting to read that book for a year and a half, and he still hasn't read it. And, you know, every month or two I say, hey, when are you going to read that book? Oh, I will start traveling with me. It's in my briefcase everywhere. I'm going to read it this week. He doesn't read it. So you just stay at people until they read it. The 50% who have read it, you just ask them what they thought about it, if they have any questions. Here's what I find about those people who have read the book. 50% of those people will agree, let you show them your opportunity. And if they've read the book and then they, you know, they respond positively to, do you have any questions? No, I thought it was interesting. Well, can I show you the company that I'm doing it with, Dave? It'll take, you know, 20 or 30 minutes, or I got a video, whatever tool you guys use. This is the time to introduce your company to people. I'm at the place. They'll let me do a presentation of some sort to them, which in our case is, you know, a 12-minute video followed by me asking them a couple questions. And so here's the business plan that goes with the book. And I'll tell you a couple success stories that go with it, too. So you want to have, like, at least 10 of these books, maybe preferably 25. I think in book 25, they're like $3.50 a piece. They're cheap. And what you do is you're just Johnny Appleseed. You keep these books with you every day, and your objective is to get, you know, like about 10 books out into people's hands every week. 10 books every week into different people's hands. Keep track of their commitment. Follow up with them. And if you'll do that for 2 or 3 in a row, what you're going to find is you're going to start doing an average of 2 or 3 presentations a week for people who looked at the book. And some books you'll get to pick up and recycle, and some books, if people liked it, they're going to want to keep it, which is fine. So you're going to have to buy more books. You do 2 or 3 presentations a week, you're going to end up, maybe not the first week or the second week, maybe because you're not that good at doing a presentation, but after you do this for 2 or 3 weeks, do 2 or 3 presentations a week, you're going to start enrolling 2, 3, 4 people a month personally in your business. And I know, Dave, that you can attest to this, that if you personally enroll 2 or 3, 4 people in your business every month for a year, your business is going to explode. Somebody's going to take off and build an empire. And we never know who it is. You know, it could be the unemployed person we sponsored. It also could be the multimillionaire who said, you know, all I'm going to do is use the product because I like them. I'm never going to build anything. I don't need any money. And they're the ones who go build. You never know who it's going to be. And so what you have to do is fill the pipeline with lots of possibilities. Pipeline of possibilities, pipeline of possibilities. 2, 3, 4 people a month, every month, every month, every month. And the only way you do that is start fill the pipeline with connections to people, conversations and connections, and get those books in people's hands. And here's a success story. There's a 25-year-old kid who lives in Red Deer, Alberta. He's in a company called Young Living. They sell essential oils. You know, not a very glamorous product, a very product-oriented company. It's not an opportunity-oriented company. It's a very product-oriented company. The company's 30 years old. Adam's number one demographic is he's recruiting women in their 40s who have children. They're either working or they're not working, but they're not his demographic. He's not recruiting kids his age. He's recruiting women twice his age. Adam launched this book into his group last July, and he's got over 35,000 copies out in the marketplace since then. And he's bringing in 2,000 to 3,000 people a month into his group. His group has grown over 25,000 people all in the last year. And he's not the only one. There's lots of other examples of people like him. He's the best example. But people that are using this book, I mean, we have people every day that buy 100 of them, buy 500 of them. The book's all over the world. It's been translated into, you know, German, Mandarin, French. It's already in Japanese and Spanish. It is the number one prospecting tool in our profession right now because it treats people with respect. It educates them. It's a simple way to introduce people to what you're doing and tell them the truth about what you're doing. And there's no way somebody can read that book and put it down and say, network marketing doesn't work. Network marketing is not credible. They can't say that if they look at the book. The book is just jam-packed with credibility. And that's my story, David. I'm sticking to it.
Well, we want to stick to it as well. Just kind of thinking back of your example of a bunch of a Nikan family all together excited about the product, excited about the company, and yet they're not saying anything. I think it shouldn't be this way, but I think a lot of people, they just don't know what to do, or there's fear, uncertainty before, but just this clear track to run on, this idea of, could I learn a script to just say, hey, I'm reading this book, I'd like you to look at it. That I think we could learn that. I think we could do that, and that's so unthreatening that it takes it off of ourselves. I'd like to see what you think. And also one of the great compliments you can give anybody is